Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 31. Another sign. Now, let's be clear here. Let's remind ourselves. Mark is writing a complete treatise. He isn't writing a series of isolated verses or texts or passages. Too often we read the Bible by jumping all over the place. We jump here, we read this bit, then we tack on that bit, we bring back this, go over to there. But the Bible's not written like that. It has to be read in the way it's written. Of course, we can take individual verses and passages in their context, but this is the way of it. The context and the overall letter here, the overall gospel here, needs to be borne in mind. What have we seen so far about Christ in this gospel? Well, we've seen his great business at this stage in his ministry is preaching. He'll make this very clear as we go through, Mark. He says, this is why I've come into the world. He's had to preach. Of course, the ultimate is the cross, the death, the resurrection, and so on. But at this stage, he is preaching the gospel. Now, part of that teaching ministry, that preaching ministry, as we have seen already, is this working of signs, miracles, wonders, healing, and such like. These things are done for various reasons, but one reason is to vindicate Christ, to identify him as the Messiah, the fulfillment of the prophecies, and to illustrate the gospel. It's the gospel he's come to bring. He comes to die for sinners. There's the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not just to heal the sick, not to make the blind see. He does make the blind see here. He does make the deaf hear and all the rest of it. But the fact is, it's all to do with the gospel. And what can we learn of the gospel in this sign? The sign we're talking about here is in verses 29 to 31. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, he took her by the hand, and he helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Mark 1, 29-31. Well, this is a remarkable miracle. This is a sign, this is a wonder. And how different to the previous. This is in private. The previous was in public, in the synagogue. This is in the home, that was in the synagogue. This is a fever, the previous was a demon. But it's the same Christ, it's the same power, it's the same point, and it's the same teaching. Verse 27, the people were also amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He gives orders to the evil spirits. He cures the fever. This is a new teaching. What is it? It's the teaching. And it's a new teaching. Not a refurbished one, not a buffed up one, a new one. This is new wine, and the old wineskins will not be able to hold it. But it's not merely a miracle. Christ is showing the gospel here, and he's showing his compassion for sinners. He's showing his power over the curing of sinners. It's not just simply curing the fever. It's a representation, a picture, an illustration to us of the glory of the gospel, the effective living power of Christ and the authority of Christ to save sinners. This is the gospel, you see. We've got to see it, my friend. We've got to realize this. We've got to recognize about ourselves. I must about myself, about yourself. We're helpless, dying, dead, blind, deaf, dumb, possessed sinners. Lost, locked, entangled in sin, ruined in the fall, desperately hopeless and helpless. And here is Christ, and he has the power, the compassion, and the authority to save sinners. He does it by his preaching. He does it by these miracles and illustration. He will do it supremely by shedding his blood on the cross and yielding up his perfection of obedience in his body to a sacrifice to God his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me to redeem my people through you? It is accomplished, he said, and it was. There's never a failure in Christ's miracles. Not like these Tory chaps who pretend to go around miracle healing today and all the rest of it. There's never a failure here. It's immediate, verse 31. She got up. Complete. Life, power. There wasn't recuperation, several days of slowly improving, looking out the window and then going out for a little walk. No, she was better straight away. It was a cure. I love the so here. I love the so here in verse 31. They told her about it, they told Jesus about her. And that, there's a thing for me, my friend. Let's tell Jesus about our friends and family who are not converted. Those wives who have husbands who are not converted. Those parents who have a son or daughter not converted. Let us tell Jesus about it. And when he hears about it, so. I love it, I love it. Jesus hears about it, so he went to her. He stepped in and he acted. Tell Jesus. Tell sinners to go to Jesus. And then the touch of Jesus, the power and the certainty, the simplicity of it all. Verse 31, what does it say? The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Oh, well, you know, what wonderful, isn't it? Have you ever been ill, my friend? Imagine it being lifted like that. The power of this, the glory. Do you know, my friend, as I preach this and teach this now, of course you may say, you don't know me. No, I don't. But Jesus knows. You might say, well, you can't really care because you... I do try. I do want to care for you. I do. Yeah. But Jesus careth and he feeleth. Oh, yeah. And he stands ready. I agree with Joseph Hart. Jesus ready stands to save you. Full of pity. Full of power. But I want to close with a few words from somebody who... He or she gave themselves the name Alotti, a pen name. This was published in the Gospel magazine, 1777. 200, was it? 40 years ago, is it? Yeah. Yeah, but it's still true, my friend. The Gospel brings tidings to each wounded soul that Jesus the Saviour can make it quite whole. And what makes the Gospel most precious to me... It holds forth salvation so perfectly free. This gospel says further, God sending his Son to die for lost sinners gave all things in one. This makes the true gospel so precious to me, because 'tis a gospel as full as it's free. Since Jesus has saved me, and that freely too, I fain would in all things my gratitude show. But as for man's worth, 'tis hateful to me. The gospel, I love it. 'Tis perfectly free.